The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter and James, John, and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowds answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." He said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. A very good morning to all of you. I'm thinking of singing, actually, because some words keep coming to me since I woke up this morning. This simple song that I sang when I was very little. And I was thinking, I was a kid when I was singing this song. So why does it keep coming? And I said, I'm here with a group of people. And in God's eyes, we are like babies. So why not just sing it and teach them how to sing it? It's very simple. And the words are, "My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down if I give God my lifetime." Those are the words. And I'm going to teach you. Make sure you remember it. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down if I give God my lifetime. Very simple, right? Okay, let's learn it in 1 minute. Now you just, my lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. We are going to sing it. You sing it twice. Then you say, if I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down if I give God my lifetime. Simple, isn't it? Listen to me again. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down if I give God my lifetime. Can we take it? Let's try. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. Again. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down if I give God my lifetime. You're so good at learning. Let's take it again. My lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down if I give God my lifetime. I read the gospel this morning, and I invite you to place yourself in the scene of today's gospel. You know, standing, put yourself in that scene. Standing with the utterly amazed crowd, listening to the back and forth conversation, and witnessing firsthand the healing miracle that Jesus performs on the boy. I want you to hear the sounds, you know, to view the sights, to feel the landscape many centuries ago. How does God speak to us today through the passage? How? Have we had experiences in our lives that are similar to this? What kind of faith does the Lord Jesus expect of us, especially when we meet challenges and difficulties? What kind of faith? Inevitably, there will be times when each of us cause disappointments to others. In the gospel incident, which I want to talk about, the disciples of Jesus, they brought disappointment to a pleading father because these disciples of Jesus failed to heal the epileptic son of this man. And how did Jesus respond? Because Jesus just came down from the mountain. When he came down from the mountain, he said, what's going on here? And they told him. And his response kind of seemed stern. But in that response, which was tempered with compassion, we see at once both Jesus' dismay with the disciples, their lack of faith, and his concern to meet the need of the troubled boy, and the anguish of his father. Jesus looked at the whole scenario, and he recognized the weakness of the father's faith. And at the same time, he challenged him. He challenged him to pray boldly. Boldly, with what I call expectant faith. Expectant faith. And that's why I'm reflecting on the sentence Jesus made in the gospel. And that is, If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith. Everything is possible. You know, Jesus kind of marveled when the father of the boy asked the question. You know, he asked that question, "If you can, if you will, please do this." He said, "If you can, everything is possible. Everything is possible with faith. All things are possible to the one who believes." There was a time I read, I'm a fan of St. Augustine. And I quickly remembered St. Augustine's commentary on this part. And I plucked it and I put it in my little note. In his commentary on this passage, he reminds us of something. St. Augustine says that prayer goes with faith. They go together. He says about this passage, and it's so interesting for me, where faith fails, prayer perishes. Where faith fails, prayer perishes. And he continues, "For who prays for that in which he does not believe?" Who prays for what he doesn't? Do you just open your mouth and just pray? You should pray for what you believe. St. Augustine. "So then, in order that we may pray, let us believe. And let us pray that the same faith by which we pray may not falter." I found that so profound. St. Augustine. The Lord gives us His Holy Spirit that we may have the confidence and boldness we need to ask our Heavenly Father for His help and grace. I wonder how many people know this. At our baptism, one of the things that is infused in us is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the various sacraments we receive in the course of our lives, the Holy Spirit comes to pray. So we, as children of God, we should be confident. We should have that boldness. We're not just praying because other people are praying. We're praying because we believe in what we are praying about. We're praying because we have that confidence. We have that boldness. That's what St. Augustine tried to bring about this passage. All things are possible for those who believe. Now the question I will ask is, do you trust in God's love? Do you trust in His love and care for you? And when you pray, do you pray with expectant faith that He will give you what you need, not what you want, what you need? When Jesus rebuked the evil spirit in today's gospel, the boy at first seemed to get worse rather than better as he went into a fit of convulsion. You know, another church father, Peter Chrysologus, try to analyze this. I also picked that. And he said something, you know, he said, "Though it was the boy who fell on the ground, it was a devil in him who was in anguish. The possessed boy was merely convulsed, while the usurping spirit was being convicted by the awesome judge. The captive was detained, but the captor was punished. Through the wrenching of the human body, the punishment of the devil was made manifest." That was his own what happened. You know, when Jesus commanded this demon to get out, he threw the boy and they thought he was dead. According to this church father, the captor was punished. Now, God promises each of us freedom. Freedom from oppression, especially from the oppression of sin and the evil one who tries to rob us of faith, who tries to rob us of hope, who tries to rob us of peace with God. The Lord Jesus invites us, and we'll read the passage like that. He invites us as He did this boy's father. He invites the boy's father. He invites us to pray with expectant faith. Do you trust in God's unfailing love and mercy? No matter how difficult it is, no matter how painful it is, do we still trust God? Faith and trust in God, in God's unfailing love and mercy, is very important. Now we'll look at the works of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And this mighty work and signs which Jesus did demonstrate that the kingdom of God is present in him. Now these signs attest that the Father has sent him as a promised Messiah. And because of what he did, they invite a belief in Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. The coming of God's kingdom means defeat of Satan's kingdom. If God's kingdom is here, the kingdom of Satan will be destroyed. So Jesus' exorcism anticipates his great victory over the ruler of the world. We see that in John chapter 12, verse 31. Now, while Satan may act in the world out of hatred for God and his kingdom in Christ Jesus, and may cause grave injuries of a spiritual nature, and indirectly even of a physical nature, his power is nonetheless limited. The power of the devil, limited and permitted by divine providence. Jesus offers us freedom. And that is what he did to this little boy and his family. Freedom. Freedom from the bondage to sin and Satan. There is no affliction he cannot deliver us from. Nothing. There is nothing he cannot deliver us from. No affliction. So do we make full use of the protection and help he offers us to those who seek him with faith and trust in his mercy? As Christians, as women of God, we're given every opportunity. Last night we were supposed to bless the sacrament, Jesus present with us. What more do we need? What more? We have the sacraments, we have the scriptures, we have beautiful books, we have everything. What else do we need? We don't need to run anywhere. We need to run to him. We need to come to him. Even when there is commotion, Jesus brings peace. When he came down from the mountain to this gospel, there was commotion. There was trouble. And he calmed everyone. What's the problem? And that is the way he steps into our problems. That is the way he steps into our situation. He comes and he walks in. And when he walks in, even if it is, the weather is stormy, even if everything is upside down, he speaks. You know, many times when I look at the actions of Jesus, I think about the creation story in Genesis. In Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, God just comes out and he speaks. Let the heavens separate from the earth, and it happens. Let plants grow, and they grow. Let animals form, and they form. And when Jesus comes, he just speaks. Do we allow him to speak in our lives? If you look at the relationship between Jesus and the father of this boy, even though in his confusion and everything, he allowed Jesus to speak. I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Many times we have to give Jesus the room to speak. We're so concerned about our feelings, our emotions, the physical. And it's so much that we don't think about what is inside and having the right disposition and inviting him with that same prayer. I really believe, but you know, my faith is small. Make it bigger. Come in and speak. So, my dear people of God, as we continue and end the retreat later today, let us go with this notion about Jesus ready to step into our lives. We have to open the door. And when you open the door, you ask him to help you. You know, when the disciples told him later, asked him to him and said, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." One may ask, what were they doing before now? What were they doing? Their prayers were not hitting the target. They were not praying with expectant faith. So when we pray, let us expect it to happen. Let us expect it to happen. When we pray, let us really pray. Because it was obvious that the disciples didn't pray. So Jesus tells them, this kind can only come out through prayer. So we can also ask God to teach us how to pray. To teach us how to pray. So I pray that at the end of this retreat that we will know how to pray. So that when we pray with expectant faith, it will happen. When we pray with expectant faith, Jesus will step in and help our unbelief. We are constantly in need of his help. And when we open that door, all things will be possible because we believe. So let's pause for a moment and put our heads down and think about these words and think about everything, and you will repeat this prayer after me. You repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
help my unbelief.
Increase my faith and trust in your saving power.
Give me confidence and perseverance,
especially in prayer.
And help me to bring your healing love
and truth to all that I meet.